Good morning. If you would, please, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I'll begin reading at the 7th verse. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. The nation of Israel has come a long way to get to the promised land. Their journey started in Egypt in slavery. God heard the cries of his people, and he told Moses to go tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. But the Pharaoh just made the Israelites work harder. But after 10 plagues, the Pharaoh decided to let the Israelites go. But then he changed his mind and sent his armies out after him to kill him. But God made a way through the Red Sea by parting it so the Israelites could get to the other side. And when the army followed after them, when they got in the middle of the Red Sea, God closed it up and destroyed their enemy. That was only the beginning. The rest of the journey took 40 years. 40 years God fed them manna or bread from heaven. For 40 years, God gave them water in the desert. For 40 years, God taught Israel what it meant to be God's people. Why 40 years? It was because of their constant complaining, and it was a way to humble them. In Deuteronomy, Moses is warning the people not to get to forget that all that they have been given by the Lord, their God. He was warning them not to get too comfortable with their prosperity, that they would forget the source of where their blessings came from. God knew that it is human nature to take credit for the good and blame somebody else for the bad. So God is telling them ahead of time not to take their blessings for granted and forget who was given it to them. The first Thanksgiving was a religious event. The pilgrims considered themselves people of God. They were called Puritans because they tried to purify the Church of Christ of worldly influences. When they sit down for that first Thanksgiving meal, their thoughts were of God. Half of the colonists had died that first winter, but with the help of the Native Americans, they had abundance of food to see them through the second winter. I'm sure they'd be surprised of what has become of their feast of giving thanks. In many ways, Thanksgiving is now celebrated as a national holiday. It is seen as a day to celebrate the great wealth of our country. Our nation began with a small group of people who wished to be able to live their lives freely. They were not rich, and they were not powerful. And the truth is that many of them did die that first winter. But 398 years later, look how far we've come. those tattered groups of settlers who could barely hang on from year to year, we have become the greatest nation and the greatest country on earth. But all in this national celebration, we need to be careful not to lose sight of the original intent of Thanksgiving. It began as the way to celebrate for what God had done for the people. God had given the pilgrims an abundant harvest, so they had established a feast to give thanks back to God. If you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, I'll begin reading at the first verse. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who was priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. Continue, drop down to verse 8. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for. Clothes that we got on our backs, the food that we got in our cupboards to keep us fed, the houses that we live in that keeps us sheltered, the vehicles that we use for transportation. In this country, we are blessed with wealth and material and political blessings that other countries just dream about. By third world standards, even the poor in America is rich. We take for granted these liberties that we have. We certainly do have a lot to be thankful for, but too often we forget our blessings in the midst of all our worries. Instead of seeing the glass half full, it seems like we always see that glass half empty. We worry about having nicer, newer clothes, better food, being able to go out to restaurants more often to eat, getting newer cars every couple years. We are distraught because the economy doesn't seem to be doing as well as we think it ought to be. We focus on our physical pains and disabilities instead of seeing what we can do for others. I think it's good that we just set aside one day a year intentionally just to give thanks. We need to periodically remind ourselves that we are blessed. Remember the pilgrims? They decided to give thanks. They're the ones that established this holiday. In the midst of their troubles, they took time to thank God for the food that would ward off famine for at least one more year. And they celebrated with their newfound friends, the Indians. We follow the example of the pilgrims, but they were simply following the example of Israel in the Bible. God had brought the children of Israel through hundreds of years of slavery, and they were about to embark in settling a new land. But God told them to always give the first fruits to God as an offering of thanksgiving. God knew that the Israelites needed a day set aside to give thanks. The pilgrims also realized that they needed to set aside a day to give thanks for all of what God had done for them. And so we also need to set aside a day to give thanks to God. We have spiritual blessings to be thankful for. Just consider the Bible. Some have said that the Bible is the best, least read book ever sold. Most people own several Bibles. How many read those Bibles? Here's a treasure chest full of inspiring stories about God and faithful people. We call it God's Word, but do we pay attention to God's Word? And what about the gift of salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That the God of the universe would love us so much that he would die in our place. And then there's the gift of assurance. Remember the song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What a blessing to know for sure in your heart that Jesus is yours and you are his, and that your eternal destination has already been assured. Take time this Thanksgiving to give thanks for spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever cometh to me shall never hunger. And whoever believeth in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. God gives us eternal life. God also gives us food and clothing and all the necessities of life. We should give thanks for these material blessings and use them to try to bless others. But let's not overlook the heavenly food that God gives us also. Let's turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, and I'll begin reading at the 11th verse. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Somewhere in history, there was a Samaritan mother and father who had done their job well when it comes to saying thank yous concerned. The Bible tells us after being healed of leprosy, a Samaritan returned to thank Jesus for healing him. At first, he probably just ran along rejoicing, but I imagine he heard his parents' voice in his head saying, now you say thank you. You say thank you. So he returned and gave thanks to Jesus. But wait a minute. Weren't there 10 lepers that was healed? Not just one? What happened to the other 9? Well, I guess they just took Jesus' gift for granted and went on their way. As Christians, we know that all blessings are gifts from God. And God gives us so much. Like a good parent, God has always given us what we need and much of what we want. But we usually forget to say, thank you. 9 times out of 10, we just go on our way. We need at least a day to remind us, one day a year, to give thanks. Not that we shouldn't give thanks always, but at least once a year we are reminded to say, thank you, God, for all that you've given me. So on Thursday, you can gather around the table with your turkey and remember to say thank you. But the day after that, when we try to figure out how to fix the leftovers, and the day after that, remember that voice in your head saying, now you say thank you. And remember to give thanks to God. As we approach Thanksgiving, there's always a question that always occurs to me. What about the people who don't have anything to be thankful for? You know, we are rich. I doubt there'll be any here today that'll be lacking for food on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, most will eat more than they should. And most of us have a decent place to live and family and friends to celebrate Thanksgiving Day with. And as I said before, and even the poor in America are rich by third world standards. But there are many people that are not so blessed. Today there are many in our country and in our world that don't have a place to stay on this day. There are some that face chronic illnesses and even intimate death. And then there are those whom Thanksgiving is just another lonely day. How can people give thanks for nothing? How can the persecuted, the starving, the lonely, the ill, give thanks to God? What would they give thanks for? The pilgrims were persecuted and even put in prison for 3 to 4 years for practicing their Puritan religion in England. So they thought to come to the New World to find freedom. They left America and sighted land in November 9th, 1620. The pilgrims had endured miserable conditions for about 65 days, and they were led by William Brewster, Psalms 100, as a prayer of thanksgiving when they sighted land. It was confirmed that the area was Cape Cod within the New England territory. On November 12th, the ship was anchored in what today is known as Provincetown Harbor. I can also remember dropping anchor in Provincetown Harbor in 1961 when I was aboard the USS Kidd, a naval destroyer. And at the time, I never gave a thought that this was the same harbor that the Mayflower with the pilgrims aboard was anchored at. And as they were anchored there, they sent out a party, an exploratory party that was led by Miles Standish to find land that was suitable to set up a colony. He did find the land that was suitable, and it was about 25 miles away from where the Mayflower was anchored. The New World was flowing with milk and honey, but it still was a rugged country. They were isolated and alone except for the Native Americans who taught them how to work that rugged land. Between the landing in November and March, only 47 out of 102 colonists survived the diseases that they had contracted on the ship. During the worst of the sickness, only 6 or 7 of the group were able to feed and care for the rest. And at that time, even half of the Mayflower's crew died also. 6 months later, The rest of the congregation came from England to settle in the new colony. William Bradford became governor in 1621 upon the death of John Carver. And on March 22, 1621, the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony signed a peace treaty with the Indians. Bradford served for 11 consecutive years as governor and was elected to various other terms until his death in 1657. The Massachusetts Bay Colony was reorganized and issued a new charter as the Province of Massachusetts Bay in 1691, and Plymouth ended its history as a separate colony. Some might say they didn't have too much to be thankful for that first winter either. Yet they gave thanks. They even had a feast and invited the Indians to feast with them. And out of that ragged group of survivors grew a tradition that has become a national holiday, a day of feasting and giving thanks for what God has given us, a national holiday for counting our blessings. It is this realization that gives people the ability to give thanks for nothing. Even when so much is lost, people who claim Christ as Lord know that the things of this world are really nothing to begin with. When the pilgrims gave thanks, they were not merely giving thanks for food that might see them through the winter, but they were giving thanks to God for eternal blessings that he had given them. In fact, I think this explains why people give thanks best when life is at its worst. It is in those times that we realize that what we have in this world is really nothing. It is then we can begin to realize the richness of God's blessings. In those moments of hardship, that's when we can thank God for our earthly nothing and our heavenly something. Take stock this Thanksgiving of all that God has given you. Don't let Thanksgiving just be another chance to eat a lot of food and watch a lot of football. But remember that we have the opportunity to feast every day on the blessings of eternal life, because we know through Christ we shall never hunger or thirst for heavenly food. Thank God for that. Kevin?
Gets it. respond to it.